The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. It's going to be a really good day. Yes, I can feel it already. The great week coming up for us. Glad you tuned in. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be talking about the upcoming next week Jewish Book Fair. This is, of course, an annual event, the 63rd Annual Jewish Book Fair. It's a wonderful event with wonderful things that are going to be happening there, and we'll be talking with the book fair's own, Rachel Ruskin. We've got lots of eclectic music for you, good Jewish stuff, of course, heard only on the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Lech Lecha. This is classic Bible stuff we're talking here. The book, the story of Abraham moving to the Promised Land, and an awesome story at the end. Stay tuned for that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Two IDF soldiers were lightly wounded when terrorists opened fire on the vehicle they were traveling in during a routine patrol along the border with Egypt. IDF spokesperson said the attack involved the use of anti-tank weapons. Hamas test-fired a rocket in the direction of the Mediterranean on Friday morning. This is the sixth test firing that the group has carried out recently. The Associated Press is under fire for a headline it ran following the terrorist attack by a Palestinian who drove his car into a train station in Jerusalem, killing a three-month-old baby. In its first report of the attack, the AP ran the headline, quote, "Israeli police shoot man in East Jerusalem," unquote. Israeli police arrested three Palestinians in Jerusalem for rioting. The rioters threw stones and shot fireworks at security forces. Police said they managed to restore quiet to the area and no one was hurt. 11 people were killed, including two Israelis, and 52 others were injured after a bus fell off a cliff in the Himalayas in Nepal. The bus flipped due to overcrowding, which was a seating capacity of 60 but was carrying more than 100. How do you even do that? That's like a clown car at a circus. Yeah. This is the second tragedy in Nepal in recent weeks. An avalanche on the Tharangla Pass killed 40 people, including four Israelis, 2 weeks ago. And finally, a 2,000-year-old stone fragment with an engraved inscription in Latin was recently unearthed by the Israeli Antiquities Commission in the Old City of Jerusalem. On the stone is written a dedication to the emperor, the Roman Emperor Adrianus, who is known for issuing anti-Jewish policies, including orders that outlaw the keeping of Shabbos and prohibiting Jews from praying and performing circumcisions. So I guess this was sending him a nice letter. Well, guess what they thought of him? I don't know. I don't know what I think of him, but that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are online today with Rachel Ruskin of the annual Jewish Book Fair, which is coming up on November 5th to the 16th here in the greater Detroit area. How are you today, Rachel?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking so much time. Let's talk about the book fair. If you can give us maybe a little background, why is there a Jewish book fair? people can go online, they can look at books, they can go into bookstores, they can do lots of things.
I think that's exactly the reason we have a Jewish book fair. I think that people have their e-readers and their tablets, and we forget how great it is to hold a book and to actually be present in a community setting and share an event together with our friends and family. And that's exactly what you can do here for the 12 days of the book fair. We have authors coming in from around the globe, as well as showcasing some great local talent. And it really is wonderful to see the JCC lobby transform into a bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is 63rd annual book fair going on now. The most of it primarily is at the JCC in West Bloomfield, and there's sort of like a satellite events going on at the JCC in Oak Park. 63 years ago, it was sort of probably like a really quaint thing. I'm thinking maybe that they had it. I'm not a Detroiter, but we're talking at the JCC on like 7 Mile and Myers. And people came in and their grandmothers were looking at this book and said, oh, this is a nice book to have. And is there that same continuity? It was like, what's different from 1951 to 2014? What's the same?
So I think there's a lot of, you know, advancements. We're really tech savvy now, and we have great equipment and amazing people who can fly in from anywhere and everywhere, and that's a little different than it was when it first started. But I think some of the greatest aspects of it are still the same. The community feeling that people have been coming here with family members for many, many years, that people come and buy gifts for their grandchildren for Hanukkah, that they buy the cookbooks that they most love the recipes from. That's all been going on for a really long time, and that's the kind of stuff that we aim to maintain year after year. So while we try to get new and exciting authors who have just come out with their most recent books, that's great, but I think equally as great is the history and the communal setting we have.
Mm-hmm. Would you have any idea who was the keynote speaker back in 1951?
You know, I wasn't around then, so I don't have all the details.
It would have been really cute if you would have said, oh, of course, 1951.
I know, wouldn't it have been great if I just
That was some famous person who we would go, oh, really? Wow, that's like, you know. Or it might have been somebody we have never heard of. I mean, you know, so. But that was the keynote then. Okay, so we've got lots and lots of events and that are going on. Let's first of all, tell us the structure of this book fair. This is not just like walking into a Barnes & Noble or Walden's or one of the other chain stores that has thousands of books laid out in you. This is a book fair. What makes this not a book sale but a book fair?
I think the fair aspect is how we have things happening, whether it's in West Bloomfield or at Oak Park, more than just one event. It's really this ongoing ambiance of something special and spectacular. So you have the book fair floor, where we have all the books for sale and we have everything going on and people come in and purchase. But we also have speakers all day, every day. We have great events for everybody. People can find something for children. People can find something, a fiction, you know, a speaker who just wrote a piece of fiction with a luncheon. People can find things about memoirs. So it's kind of this feeling that just emanates from the whole lobby when you first walk into the building. And we're using all these great venues. We have speakers in the Janice Charrett Gallery. We have speakers in the Berman Center for the Performing Arts. So it's really this atmosphere that's very lively and fun.
Okay. Let me give you a supposition. Let's say I have a family of four kids, and we happen to have the Sunday of the book fair available, and it's like the kids want to go someplace, and they want to do something, and my wife wants to go someplace, and I want to get something out of the deal. And I have a kid, say, a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
I feel like this is like a math equation.
Yes. So, and how old was the bus driver? Yes, we know that one. So that's the deal. I have a premise. I have a 40-something-year-old wife. I'm 40-something years old. This is all totally prepositional and suppositional. And I got four kids ranging from 4 to 14. Go on. Entertain me, please.
Sundays are a great day to be at the book fair. Both our Sundays are jam-packed, starting at 10 a.m. and running through the evening. We have events for all ages. On Sunday the 16th, we have a children's author, Jeffrey London, coming in to speak about his book and do a reading in Shalom Street Museum. We also have things for various, you know, interests. Whether you want something a little bit more related to health issues, we have Dr. Joel Kahn. We have somebody younger, Oliver Horowitz, talking about his time caddying in Scotland. We have things that the whole family could enjoy, talking about art history or somebody's experience. Glenn Kurtz is writing about a family connection here and the Holocaust experience that I think the whole family could learn and benefit from together. Plus, you're at the JCC, so you can take full advantage of everything else that's going on in our facility.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm looking at the catalog, which the catalog is available at online at jccdet.org and probably any place where, probably a zillion places around the city. I picked mine up actually at the JCC in West Bloomfield. And I see that on the JCC, on the Jewish Hour in the last year, we've actually interviewed Zev Dorva-Kahnweiser, who wrote Living Beyond Terrorism. We interviewed Yosef Talushkin, who wrote a book called The Rebbe. We've interviewed Miriam Karp, who wrote a book painting about my grandfather. And next week, we're interviewing Schneer Silverberg, who wrote a book about God is Great, How Hitchkins and His Ilk Distorted God and Religion. So we're very much involved. This is the Jewish Hour. We're conveying Jewish ideas and Jewish ideals. Like, I don't play Bob Dylan on the show because even though he was Jewish, but it's not Jewish music. What's the criteria for getting a book featured in the Jewish Book Fair, Rachel Ruskin?
I think we have a really wide scope, and I think that's important because we're aiming to please the entire public general community of metropolitan Detroit, which is not an easy task. You know, so whether it's that it has Jewish content or the author is Jewish, I think that it has to link somehow to either one of those ideals so that we're maintaining our Jewish book fair. I think people will find that there's things that are more covertly Jewish and things that are more overtly Jewish. I think that we have that wide range of appeal, so if people want to hear Rabbi Poulter speak or Miriam Dreger-Karp, they can do that certainly, and they can also come hear Andy Cohen or Annabelle Gurwitch give a book talk.
Mm-hmm. How many books? Does somebody review the books? Is there a selection process where you put even this book is written by a Detroiter, and it's about Judaism, but it's a really bad book. Is it getting into the Jewish Book Fair?
Well, we have an amazing committee who are very hands-on and extremely active and dedicated to this, and they've been involved ranging from this might be their first year to this is they can't even count how many years they've been part of it, and we really rely on them. They really handpick every author who comes to visit, as well as every book that's on the floor. And we try to keep the caliber high, but at the same time, we also want to take full advantage that we have a lot of talent in this community. So whether it's the local author panel on Sunday the 9th, or it's other local authors who are being highlighted throughout the book fair, or it's local authors who wrote a book and they can, you know, they'll sell it on the book fair floor. We want to keep quality high and our standards high and also involve people because we're a grassroots organization.
Okay, that's great. Okay, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Rachel Ruskin, one of the organizers of the 63rd Annual Jewish Book Fair, which will be ongoing from November 5th through the 16th at both JCCs in West Bloomfield and in Oak Park. So tell us about the major events. I'm assuming a major event are those things that have charges to get into, because it's such a special thing, you can charge for these people, and they're probably charging lots of money to be even coming to Detroit. So if you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But so who are the major speakers coming up at this year's Jewish Book Fair, Rachel?
Sure, we have some great keynote speakers. We're starting with Rabbi Joseph Talushkin as our opening night speaker on November 6th at 8 p.m., and we're moving into some evening speakers. Most of our evening speakers have charges. We're a nonprofit. This is how we can bring these great speakers to our community, so we hope people don't mind supporting us. We have a book club night with Ayelet Waldman on the 10th of November. She's a great author, wrote a new book, Love and Treasure, just out, and that's going to have a dessert reception and a meet and greet. We have a spectacular brunch and learn with Joel Hoffman on Wednesday the 12th. So people can come, have a bite to eat, talk with Joel, and he'll be speaking about his new book, The Bible's Cutting Room Floor. And we also have our patron night, Barbara Winton, the daughter of Sir Nicholas Winton. She wrote a book, If It's Not Impossible, The Life of Sir Nicholas Winton. And she'll be joining us on the 12th of November at 6 p.m. So we have some great authors coming. Our evenings are usually some popular events. We have large crowds. Come get your tickets early at the box office and enjoy.
That's awesome. I'm assuming that since you're one of the organizers, you probably read through these featured featured books, which one would you say is really caught your eye, was like a real like must see?
It's always hard when people ask me that. I've also been a film festival director for the last 3 years and continue to do that. And at the same time, people say, what's your favorite film? I have so many favorites, so it's really hard to tell. I think that a lot of these, it depends what you're looking for. So there's a great piece of fiction written by Hesh Keston called The Lie, and it's sort of this suspense story set in Israel, and it just, I read it so quickly because I wanted to know what happened, and I really enjoyed that book. At the same time, I really thought A Broken Hallelujah, the Lyle Labovitz book about rock and roll redemption and the life of Leonard Cohen, was really interesting. So there's such a variety. It just depends what you're looking for, but I cannot see somebody coming here and being disappointed.
Okay, that's a wonderful challenge to people. Give us a general schedule. How does a day work? You don't have it like backed up. It's not 24 hours of 11 days of people talking. That would be like way over the top. So what's the general schedule? If a person say, let's say I got some time on like a Tuesday. So how's Tuesday's schedule go? Or generally, what's the schedule?
So every day is a little bit different. Sundays are pretty packed from 10 a.m. to the evening, like I said, but every other day has its own schedule, and it really varies. We kind of ease into it. Wednesday, November 5th, Gershon Baskin at 8 p.m., two more on Thursday the 6th. Friday, we have a lovely event in the morning in the gallery with Joanne Gilbert. A Tuesday, you could come in, you could have a chance to meet Susan Jane Gilman and hear her speak about her new book, The Ice Cream Queen of Orchard Street, at a ice cream social. And then we have a 6 p.m. and an 8 p.m. So there's usually evening speakers and a couple things in the afternoon or something in the late morning. So hopefully people who have different schedules can manage to come to something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it's split up, not evenly, between West Bloomfield and Oak Park. Oak Park being a smaller facility, has a smaller capacity for holding books. So what would I don't want to have exactly how to phrase this, but I want to. It's convenient for me to go to Oak Park. What's going to draw me to West Bloomfield, or maybe I can? What's going to draw me to Oak Park?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think what's going to draw somebody to West Bloomfield is if they have the desire to see almost everything, and they want to see the giant book fair floor set up. That's in West Bloomfield. Sometimes, though, they can't make it to when a speaker's speaking here, and they might want to check it out and see if they're in Oak Park. We have a lot of people reprising authors' talkbacks in Oak Park. And at the same time, we have Rabbi Poulter and Miriam Dreiker-Karp only speaking in Oak Park. So we hope that people will join us there as well. We're also going to carry a great amount of speaker books, cookbooks, children's books on the book fair floor in Oak Park. So hopefully, you know, there's something near everybody, and we hope people will check us out at both locations.
Mm-hmm. Is there any push for, say, like the upcoming season of giving, which is located in the middle of December, a mere month after the book fair, Rachel? Hanukkah
giving is a huge part of the book fair. We have a great amount of children's knickknacks, gifts, books. Hanukkah always... It's kind of great timing that book fair is usually right before Hanukkah, so people can come and get some children's gifts and books. There was a great pop-up book for Hanukkah last year that I bought my niece and nephew, so I think people will find that there's a lot to look through.
Mm-hmm. Are all the books new to this year, or do you have, like, you know, if I wanted to find the Jewish Book of Y, for example, would that be, that's considered a classic, or say,
yeah, we do
or
have
say
a
Bible, for example?
We have a lot of things that are selling really well year after year that we know people look for, that we try to continue to carry. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we're getting a lot of the newer items, the new books, the speaker books that are all coming. So it's a bit of a mix.
Okay. Do you offer gift wrapping?
We don't offer gift wrapping currently, but that's something that we might consider doing in the future. It's usually really busy on the floor, and we just hope that people will come and expect the great service that our volunteers give them. And, you know, if they're interested in volunteering, we wouldn't turn that away either.
That's an excellent idea. Here's one for you, maybe if you're not doing it already. The Jewish Hour is heard online, and there are a lot of people that do not live in Detroit. Can they access the book fair? Can they buy a book? Can they listen to a speaker maybe downstreaming?
It's actually something that we're talking about for the future. You know, everything sort of requires money, and we're working on that and trying to update our technology. And that's the exact conversations we're in the midst of having. So currently, no, but hopefully for the future.
Okay, that's great. That's going to wrap us up for us. Rachel, give us all the details of how people will be able to know what and when, where the event is, please.
Sure. They can go online, jccdet.org, or call 248-661-1900 to purchase tickets.
Okay. And again, our guest has been Rachel Ruskin. We've been talking about the 63rd Annual Jewish Book Fair going on from November 5th through the 16th here at the Detroit JCCs in West Bloomfield and Oak Park. And thank you for coming on and keeping us apprised.
Thank you so much.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. There is a new band out on the Jewish scene trying to break in, and we like to help people do that. The group is called Blue Melody. They're out of Texas. And for the most part, they're playing instrumental music. They have sent me a lot of stuff, actually. This one, which I like, is called Projekt, which is Yiddish for project. And let's listen. Thank you.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Fidman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're in the middle of a musical interlude. This is a Hungarian klezmer band. The song is called Freilichs, which means really happy.
Лехаем ребе, лехаем ребе, лехаем ребе, лехаем ребе.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Little PSA time over here. Rabbi Joseph Telushkin will be speaking at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts on Thursday, November 6th at 8 p.m. Price is, general admission is $18. And a special Chabad Lubavitch price is $12. To receive the $12 price, simply call the Berman box office at 661-1900 and mention that you're with Lubavitch, and you get $6 off. Or you can go to the Berman.org center and enter Save $6 as a promo code. That's so cute. Anyway, also at the JCC, next week we'll be featuring on the show Rabbi Schnur Poulter, who's written a book God is Great, How Hitchkins and His Ilk Distort God and Religion. He's going to be speaking at the JCC in Oak Park only at 7 p.m. Monday, November the 10th. There's no charge for that. And Miriam Dreiker-Karp, who has been on this show, was interviewed about Painting Zeta's Dream, Memoir of a Searching Soul, will be on Sunday, November the 16th at 10 a.m. And you might be able to get brunch out of the deal if you play your cards right. Your organization having an event? Well, drop me a line at rabbifinman.com, and we'll mention it on the air. We got time for one more song. This is Oy Tate, which means, Oh, Our Father in Heaven. It's a Yiddish song sung by the one and only Barry Weber, and it's just for you. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Lech Lecha. It is classic Bible stuff. At the beginning of the portion, Abraham is told to leave Mesopotamia and go to the land of Canaan, which later became the land of Palestine, which later became the land of Israel, which it is now, but it's all the same place. And there he encountered a drought, and he had to go to Egypt, and his wife was abducted, and he came back, and there was a fight between his nephew Lot and himself, and then there was, he didn't have any kids, and he had to have, he had this kid Ishmael, and then God asked him to circumcise himself, at 99 years old, thank you very much. In the middle, God also promised him that his progeny would be the Jewish people, the chosen people. Let's analyze the beginning of the portion. Lech Lecha. God doesn't tell him. The story goes, it's not written in the Bible, but it's alluded to that Abraham had left Ur Kasdim, which Kasdim is Hebrew for Chaldea, which is where he was from. He was a Chaldean, yes, indeedy. Which I never heard the word Chaldean until I moved to Detroit. But okay, so it's, you know, now we know what it is. And he was told to leave Ur Kasdim. Now, I'm not so sure there is a city called Ur in Chaldea. It was supposedly the capital, but Ur means fire. They had an ironworks there, and Abraham was thrown into the ironworks and fire, this furnace, which was probably like 3,000 degrees centigrade, and miraculously walked out. And God said, I think it's a good idea. You kind of like left. You know, it can, how many, don't, it says, don't rely on a miracle, but don't be surprised when one happens. So God said, it happened once, we're not going to push it. So he's told, leave. Now, what usually happens when a person becomes a refugee, you have it all the time. You have this person was a major hoo-ha in the country that he was leaving, a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, even a teacher, something like that. And they have to, for some whatever reason, pick themselves up and leave. And they achieve refugee status in some other country. And what are they in some other country and that they've now become refugee status in? A janitor, a nanny, a cook, a dishwasher, something like this. And these are people who were in their own country were prominent people. So God not only told Abraham, Lech Ma'artzecha, go out of your land. He told him Lech Lecha, which is the name of the portion, Lech Lecha. It's always called, there's very few portions that have two-word titles, but this one does. Lech Lecha, go for yourself, would be the translation. Because was Abraham to achieve greatness, if it were to be that Abraham was to achieve greatness, it could not be in Chaldea. He had to move to a new place, be a refugee, but prominence floats to the surface. We see there's been some, you know, let's say, so who have been refugees? Let's see, Albert Einstein was a refugee. He had to leave Germany, and he came to Princeton. I think he did okay. Sigmund Freud, he had to leave Vienna, went to England. I think he did okay, too. You know, so there are refugees, and then there are refugees. Elie Wiesel, the refugee from Poland, or Romania, rather, and came to this country. Okay, I think he did pretty good. So Abraham was to come to a land where he could now achieve greatness. When he got there, there was nothing there for him. And it could have been that he just said, well, that was like a wild nothing chase. Never been a wild goose. There's not even anything there. He got there was a drought in Israel. Serious drought means no food. People have to leave, and he had to leave. He had to go now become a refugee from a refugee status and go down to Egypt. But it was all part of the plan. We see in next week's portion, actually the portion afterwards, there's a verse that says, Abraham was old, coming of days. What does it mean, old, coming of days? Coming of days is a weird expression, even in Hebrew, and warrants discussion, even in Hebrew. Say somebody's old, okay, fine. Let's say a person's 80 years old. Is that person an old person? Not to a 90-year-old. What's old? Old is 20 years older than I am, or maybe 25 years older than I am at this point. That's always been the case. You know, I'm looking back and you have pictures of my mother, my in-laws, of when they were in their early 50s and thinking, hey, they look pretty young in this picture compared to what they remember them of their 80s. You know, oh, look how young they are. And then catching myself and say, wait a minute, I'm that age. So people are old. Old is a state of mind. Sort of like when I was young, my mother was a single mother. Unfortunately, my father passed away, and there were seven of us, and my mother had to raise us, and her occupation became raising seven children. And at that time, before the food stamp program, there was something called the food distribution program. People would go to certain food distribution centers, and they would get cans, boxes, bags, and bottles of things that were generically labeled USDA, not for resale, and it would say what the contents of it was. You get these huge cans of like peanuts, jelly, boxes, 5-pound boxes of mashed potato flakes. Yeah, it was like a free Costco, yes. And my mother asked me to come with her. It was located in the central ward of Newark, which was not the best neighborhood, but I was 10 years old at the time. I was not going to supply much protection for her, but she did needed somebody to schlep the boxes. And on the way home, I asked my mother, does this mean we're poor? And she responded, no, I asked her, does this mean we're low class? That was the question I asked her. Does this mean we're low class? And she said, we are high class. We just don't have any money. So a proper, very wise answer. So going back to what I'm trying to get back over here, old is a state of mind. I know people that are 50 years old that are just so crotchety and old and just like, oh my goodness. I met this past Sukkot. So I went to one of the local hospitals with my lulav and esrog and went from door to door shaking the lulav and the esrog. And I came across a guy, and I have the hospital gives me a patient list, and I see this guy was 97 years old. And he had a broken ankle is what he had. So it had to need pins, this type of stuff. And I walked in, and this guy was one of the most lively people I have ever met in my entire life. I would say this guy was 97 years young. And I actually spent a lot of time talking with this person because he was just a fascinating individual. So old is between your right and left ear. Abraham was old, okay, but he was coming of days. Coming of days meant that every single day counted. Every day, at the end of the day, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to look back and see what have our accomplishments been? What did we do today? And of course, at the end we get done with it, we're supposed to say, okay, that was good. Okay, that was fair, whatever it was, but tomorrow's got to be a better day. Abraham would look back at his day and would be able to say, wow, we did this, we did this, we did that. Jam-packed, start to finish. Okay, it was, every day was an accomplishment. But of course, he probably at the end of thinking through the end of his day would say, tomorrow's got to be a better day. Because every day was indeed a better day. I am reminded of a story. This is not the Hasidic story at the end, but back in the 60s, a group of college students came for a private audience with a Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they had been briefed. I don't know if it's briefed or debriefed. I don't know which one is it. Yeah, so it's like, you know, the words that get me confused are brief and debrief and deployed and redeployed. You know, redeployed means you deploy again, doesn't it? No, but that's not, no, we're not going to go there. This is not a way with words. We're not discussing grammar and word usage. But so they spoke about what the Rebbe was all about and what a righteous person is and how righteous people such as this caliber never make mistakes. And so one of these kids in this audience with this group of students asked the Rebbe that he understands that a tzaddik is a righteous person, never makes a mistake. If that be the case, why does the Rebbe have an eraser on the end of his pencil? Which to me is like, oh, I thought you were smart. You went to college. Like, hello. But the Rebbe answered with a formidable answer. He said, when a person writes something down and he looks it over and he says, yes, this is the best it could possibly be. Then he puts it off to the side, comes back maybe the next day, and then thinks of something else, an insight, and thinks, you know what? I could do this better. So it's not to say that what you had accomplished till now was wrong. It's just this is a better way of doing it. So every day a person should have a good day, but the expression in Yiddish is, as good is good, is besser nit besser, which that's a really good one. If good is good, isn't better better? That is how Abraham achieved greatness, because he was told, lech lecha, the word go. Don't be static. Don't suffice yourself with what you accomplished today. Don't think, you know, back then, those were the good old days. No, make today the good new days, so that when you look back 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, how many years you could look back, think, boy, that was just the beginning. This is where it's at. That's how a person achieves greatness. That's lech lecha. Go for yourselves. Now what we have to do is go. For a word from our sponsors, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Feman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest, bestest way possible? Go to RabbiFinman.com, RabbiFinman.com. Right there on the homepage is the Contact Us link. It's like right there. You don't have to go looking. I get so frustrated looking around somebody's website, and it's like, okay, where's the contact? Where's contact? Where's the little link? Oh, it's at the bottom. It's at the top. It's the corner. Right on the front of the page. We put it there. So you shouldn't have to worry about such things, because why are most people going to RabbiFinman.com? To believe me or not, they're going to contact Rabbi Finman. So we put it right there, made it easy for you. You contact me, I contact you back, then we get to establish a relationship, and everybody lives happily ever after. It's that simple, folks. What else will you find at RabbiFinman.com? You'll find archived editions of the show. Believe it or not, we still have that wonderful interview with the farmer who grows citrons, largest citron grower in America, is located up there. And the last four or five shows are there. You also have archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U story, which are insights into the portion of the week, Hasidic stories, presented in other formats other than this one, because we like to be multimedia, and we also like to give you an opportunity to be entertained and educated in more ways than one. There's a classes page. There's also the very important donations page. We're at the end of the month. The Piper's got to get paid. We need you to do it. We do have sponsors, but for the most part, for the last 18 years, The Jewish Hour has been on air due to the generosity of listeners just like you. Go to RabbiFinman.com, click on the donations page, give any amount you want. It's all good, just as long as it's got a dollar sign in front of it. And if you don't even have a dollar sign in front of it, if you're listening to me in like Europe and you want to give in euros, it's fine. By the time it gets to us, it's already been converted to dollars. That's fine too. If you don't like giving over the internet, I can understand credit cards, security, mail, fraud, that all type of stuff. Fine, no problem. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. There is a young man. I came across this story on the Ascent of Svat website. It involves a rabbi who, by the name of Yoel Kaplan, who is the chief rabbi of Thessalonica, Greece, and also of the country of Albania. And he happens to also be my brother's stepson. So this is a very, when I saw the name, I went, oh, interesting. He's been in Thessalonica, which in Hebrew is called Salonica. I don't know where the Th comes from, but in English or in Greek, it's Thessalonica. In Hebrew, Salonica or Saloniki. And When he first got there, there was actually civil unrest. Greece was, its financial situations was in the drain, and there was all kinds of university rioting going on. And, of course, it was a very good time for anti-Semitism. There was certain blocks that were known by the Jews, you just don't walk down because you're going to get beat up, or worse, because they have these virulent groups of anti-Semites. And it just happened, and he would yell. He actually, during one period, he stayed in his house for 3 weeks. He did not go out of his house because of the unrest that was going on. So one time he had to go to the post office. So rather than taking the circuitous way and route and avoiding all of the dangerous neighborhoods, he just said, "I don't have time. It's Friday afternoon. I gotta do this." And he went down the straight way and was accosted by a gang of, the story says at best, anti-Semites. And it describes how hateful were these anti-Semites, just to let you know, the storyteller, describes them as being tattooed with punk haircuts and menacing-looking faces. And they started taunting him. And he, rather than just ignoring them, because he thought if he just ignored them, he'd probably get beat up, he turned around and said, "Good morning." And the leader of the group looked at him and menacingly said, "Somebody talking to you that you're talking to us?" And he threw an epithet at him. And he said, "You're not only talking to me, you're talking to my whole people." And this really, you know, this is like the way to deal with a big, bruising, angry mob leader is to just like stand there and talk at him like he's an idiot. And this mob leader, just like was gang leader, was just livid. And he came up right within inches of Rabbi Kaplan and held his fist in his face and said, "I'm a boxer. You wanna keep up with this? I'll show you what I can box." So he said, "It's okay," but, you know, he turned around and wished everybody have a good day and kept walking. And they left him alone. On the way back, he actually decided, "I'm still in a hurry." And he walked back the same way. This time, the whole group was, for some reason, was very quiet. And they just kind of like walked past him. When he walked past the gang leader, he took out his calling card, his business card, and handed it to him and said, "If there's ever a time when you feel like you need to have a cup of coffee and talk, talk to me. Give me a call." And he smiled at the guy and he walked. Okay. Couple months went by. This was like sort of in the wintertime, Shavuos, which is in late May, early June. The day before Shavuos, he gets a call, 10 o'clock in the morning. He says, "Rabbi, do you remember me? My name is Alexandros. I was the boxer guy who accosted you in the street. Is the coffee still available?" He said, "Sure, come by." He said, "I'm standing at your front door." So they sat down, and after a while, so this Greek anti-Semite asked this Rabbi Kaplan, "So what makes a Jew a Jew?" So he says, "It has to be, his mother has to be Jewish." Okay, so he says, "Okay, what if his mother's not Jewish, but his, like, grandmother's Jewish, or his father's Jewish, or his father's mother's Jewish, or his grandmother's grandfather's Jewish?" So he explained, "Well, your mother is Jewish if her mother was Jewish, and your grandmother's Jewish if her grandmother, if her mother is Jewish, and your great-grandmother is Jewish if her mother was Jewish." So he said, "Well, my grandmother..." So Thessalonica is sort of like, it's out of the way. It's not like the major city. It's not Athens. It's up in the hills. It's near Albania. Said, "Well, my grandmother saw her first husband and her kids killed by the Nazis. And she managed to escape. And she got remarried, had one daughter. But she hid the fact that she was Jewish until she was much, much older. And when she was very, very old, she told me that she was Jewish. So what does that make me?" So Rabbi Kaplan gave him a hug and said, "Welcome to the clan." And with that, Andros, the anti-Semite, leader of an anti-Semitic gang, started his journey on into Judaism, which now has him living in Jerusalem, a proud father of many Jewish children. And that's the story. Well, thank you for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Looks like it's going to be an awesome week this week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.